Welcome to Lifelines Radio, a production of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Legislative Director of the Federation. Joining us today is Sister Gianna Cassino, author of the wonderful children's book, Puffle. Sister Gianna, welcome to Lifelines Radio.
Thank you, Maria. I'm so excited to be here. Yes, thank you.
I'm so excited to have you with us today. And I'm so glad that you reached out to me by email and we connected and I found out about the lovely book. And the book has just been doing so well. I'm so grateful for that. Can you tell me, how did you come to be a writer?
Sure. So I have always loved storytelling and reading since I was a little girl. And I remember that my dad would get his laptop out before we went to bed. And my brother and I, we would actually write funny bedtime stories before we went to sleep. So it was something different from just the typical reading. And so that's always been a part of my life, is just exercising that creative outlet through imagining and exploring and making things up and all these different characters I love, and different, yes, animals and all of that. And so, but just recently, about two, almost 2.5 years ago, my dad had passed away suddenly. And I felt that it unlocked something in my interior. I had always written a lot, especially as sisters. We typically have a journal, and we write spiritual reflections, letters to others, to our Lord. And I had started writing letters to my dad and poems about him. And so something unlocked in me wherein I would take my pen out and I would just bleed, in the words of Ralph Emerson. So, and that actually never left me. And it was the same when I started writing art. So I'm a teacher, and when I wrote plays for our children, when I had to be called to come up and do to teach, or if I had to talk to the kids about the faith or truths about the Catholic faith, there was just something in me where the words could flow, especially if it was on paper, and I could express emotion in a way that I couldn't verbally. So definitely coming to now publish this book and my forthcoming books, I think was really a gift from God and something beautiful that he brought from that brokenness.
Oh my goodness, what a story. And what led you to write this particular children's book?
Yes. So my community of sisters, we are a teaching community. So we work very closely with little children and also youth and families. So I definitely saw this need from my students and from different children that we encounter, wherein they had started questioning their identity. And they were hearing things, I think, a lot from mainstream media, social media, and they had brought it to our attention. Things that I believe, and you know this better than I, it was attacking the sanctity of life, what the definition of a family was, and who they are. And it really breaks my heart that mainstream media is attacking children in that way. Literature, different forms, film, music. And I thought, oh my goodness, I was really inspired by the Holy Spirit, and I just felt that we needed to bring about this message of self-compassion, acceptance, and help them realize that their true identity isn't based on what people say, what their opinion is of them, but that it's really revealed in who they are in the eyes of God. And to just really go back to that basic truth for them, especially in such a very sensitive period in their life when they absorb everything and they're so curious. And they're just so full of wonder. So I definitely like to answer all their questions. So to writing this children book, it was really a lot of things that led me to write it, but I knew that I wanted to create a very attractive character that children could really relate to and embrace upon seeing, and it would appeal to them, their families. And like similar to Aslan in C.S. Lewis' Chronicle of Narnia, a character that they could remember and find foundational truths of the Catholic faith, like through the story of the character.
And you really did create a memorable character. I mean, the character just kind of leaps off the page. How did that come to you? Were you praying when it came to you? Were you writing when it came to you? How did it come about?
That's a really great question. Yes, thank you. I don't think anyone's ever asked me that until now. You know what? Okay, well, it's okay. I will tell you, it's really my spiritual children. They love penguins. I know all their favorite animals, and I have to say, I'm not too. I'm very. I'm the same with them. I also love animals, and we love talking about animals as well and penguins. But I think I did pray about it. I will tell you, it was the month of June, and June was, of course, in mainstream media termed Pride Month. So when we go to the libraries, there were sections of literature, being aimed toward small children that were also, I would say they tried to have creative literature and covers and artwork, but what they're promoting was really from the opposite, is really from the evil one. So as far as the character of Puffle, I think it was definitely the Holy Spirit. But also, there's in St. Louis, there's a in the zoo we have an exhibit. It's penguin and puffin birds together. So that image always struck me, and I thought it was beautiful because they can't be found anywhere in the wild together. It's only in that zoo, or if you put them together in an environment, that they can actually blend and and grow and live with one another. So I think I'm not, maybe it was from that, but I've always, penguins are one of my favorite animals, and puffin birds. Yeah, I've always loved birds.
That's wonderful. How does the theme of theology of the body play out in the book?
Sure. So the whole underlying truth in Puffle is that true identity is revealed by love, and that capacity we have for connection and relationship, it really points to the essence of what it means to be who we are, so to be human. Now, I know I'm displaying this through Puffle, this little baby puffin bird, but he really kind of stands as this epitome of the fact that we are created from love, and that our purpose is to love, and that we're heading in that direction in our mission to God, and our mission to bring that love to one another. So in theology of the body, there's three particular concepts. There's original solitude, original unity, and original nakedness. Now, this is not listed in my parent and teacher guide. There was no room for it. But I'll explain it because this is really the basis of it. And so we know in original solitude that Adam, when he was created, he took care of the animals, he interacted with them, and he saw the difference. He saw that he was in the crown of God's creation, right? Because he has reason and will, and he has emotion. And in the same way, Puffle, when he first encounters the penguins, he sees that he's also different from them. And so in the same way, we can experience this original solitude by realizing the capacity of what it means to be human, right? And also, Puffle sees his limitedness. So part of being human is just seeing that at times we're limited. Suffering introduces us to that truth that there are moments that we are limited, but that doesn't mean that we are less love, or we are less worthy, that we have less dignity than we actually were deemed with from the beginning. And then there's original unity. So of course he interacts with his fellow puffin friends, the penguins, the playmates, and so little things like that in the story. There's a parent teacher guide that comes with the book. You can download it for free with the purchase, and it goes through all of this because it's plenty. And then there's original nakedness. So of course that's the essence of who God created us to be, the gift of who you are and who you're called to be. So, and these are all, and then Puffle has his family, who plays a very, very important role in the book, and in terms of helping him realize the gift of what it is to be a puffin. And so the family, of course, is the domestic church where children learn to first pray and love God. And you'll see that in the book, that when he talks to his parents, they kind of form this And actually, Atlantic puffins are really like this. They're Atlantic puffins are known for being very faithful mates. They have large colonies. They're known for taking care of their young and just being so selfless. You'll see that, or you've already given a great review on my book. So you know that very well. Yeah, so his parents play a huge role in that. So yeah, so those are just some truths for from theology of the body that are presented in Puffle.
It's just so brilliantly done, and it's just so timely. The book is also beautifully illustrated. How did that come about?
Sure, yes, I love talking about this, and I will say that Nadia, who's my current illustrator, she is the best. Yes, it's she's really a gem that I had found. So originally there were 20 people who had applied to illustrate for this book, and I had interviewed them. I had looked through their portfolios. Nadia was, I would say, one of the ones who had come from art school. She had done previous work before, but I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this is her first book in America, children's book that she's done. She's from Serbia. So to illustrate this, it was actually probably one of my most favorite things in the whole process because we would talk about the character, talk about his eyes, his emotion, where his feet were placed. Like when he was talking with his mom, we would talk about what direction they were looking in, where where her wing was, you know, and it was just amazing to because she brought it to life, you know. It was really just a concept, of course, inspired by the Holy Spirit. But it was a lot of fun, and we made mood boards. And just to really know these characters, like, you know, I was telling her, like, Puffle is 7 years old. His favorite food is fish tacos. He likes to play with his friends. All of that helped in creating the story and the character. And that's the beauty of fiction, you know, that all these little truths we find. So I think for every week, Nadia started out doing little sketches. She would send them to me, I would approve them. Then we worked through colors. That took like another 2 weeks. I'm telling you, like it was, I didn't, this is my first children's book. I didn't know how much work it was. It was amazing. And we would send pictures of Norway to each other. And I taught her what a slip and slide party was. They probably don't call it that in Serbia, but to teach her little things like that and like the way we spell the word gray or English spellings, it was a really beautiful process of illustrating it. And yeah.
It is just so lovely, and I know that when I posted a review of the book, I think there were so many people who wanted to read it just based on seeing the cover because it's just so magnificent.
Oh, praise Jesus. Yes.
Yes.
That is what Nadia and I wanted. We were like, we want to make a cover where people are just going to look at it. They're going to look at Puffle and they're going to fall in love with his blue eyes and be like, I want that book.
Absolutely. What's your hope for young readers of the book?
My hope for every reader, and I do pray for every reader that reads this book, is that they realize that at their deepest core, that they are made in the image of God. Because they are made in the image of love, and that they know that they are perfectly lovable just the way they are. You could be 3 years old, you could be 10 years old, you could be my age, I'm 29. But to just come back to that truth, because so often the evil one does, he really tries hard, makes so many efforts to make us forget that. You know, he'll put out his snares of comparison or what we don't have. He'll use different crises in our life and imbalance to throw us off and not see our true relationship with God. If you really know how much God loves you, then you will have no fear, no problem in approaching the Lord, you know, ultimately. And just, yes. So, and just to discover their vocation, because, you know, that's really the gift that God gives us to for what our mission is. And that's something that Puffle will have to discover as he gets older. Next sequel.
And what's your hope for parents and grandparents and caregivers who pick up the book?
Sure. So My hope is that parents, caregivers, grandparents, whatever adults are there, is that they are inspired to have the courage to have difficult conversations with their child that may arise when their child is confused or when they come home and they hear things from friends or teachers, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, I heard this, you know, or and they start questioning themselves. I think that it's really important that these truths should be addressed by parents, especially sensitive topics to their child, because they're their first educators in their life. You know, when children learn love in the home, it's first modeled in the home. So, whenever children, as young as they are, I've met children as young as two, if they have questions about their identity, masculinity, femininity, or what opposing views there are, my hope is that parents can sit down and really have these conversations with their children about the gift of who they are. And that, like Mama Puffin, so I might be giving a spoiler here. She says, I wish you could see yourself the way that I see you. Just for children to know the love of their parents. Yeah.
It's so beautiful. What advice would you have for a would-be author who wants to help rebuild a culture of life through his or her writing?
I would say pray. Ask the Holy Spirit, what is the most needed message of this day and age? And what do you will for me to do with it? Because the culture of life, and you know this very well, it begins when we're open to the grace of God and we're ready to be radical witnesses and fight the culture of death, which is so prevalent. We see so many needs everywhere, schools, homes, in public, even in church. So I would just say pray and ask the Holy Spirit, because if we rely on ourselves, we're not going to get, I wouldn't say we're going to get too far. I think all success and fruits come from the Holy Spirit, and he'll use whatever gifts you already have. So
That's
yes.
very encouraging. You're listening to Lifelines Radio. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Legislative Director of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. We are talking today with Sister Gianna Cassino, author of the book Puffle. How did you come to discover your religious calling? I'm sure a lot of people are curious about that.
Yes, that's a big question. I do have a 3-minute version and like a 30-minute one, but I'll go with the short one today. Well, I first time I saw a sister was when I was in kindergarten, and I saw her wearing her habit, and I was like, "Ma, like, why is she wearing those clothes?" And my mom said, "Oh, she's married to Jesus." And I never forgot that. And I thought instantly, "I want to marry Jesus too when I grow up." Like, I couldn't think of anything better to marry Jesus. So that was the first time I was exposed to a sister, and I was drawn to the religious life. I would say that when I was little, and of course, I believe this was really fostered as I grew up. Now there's different like academic and social pressures that came up in high school and college, but my parents and I, we were really faithful in going to adoration and praying the rosary. So I think along the way, having that devotion to our Blessed Mother and talking to her about what do you want me to do? How do you will for me to become a saint? I think that all really drew me to desiring this even more and being open to God's will. And I had met the sisters. I've known these sisters since I was in kindergarten. So I didn't have to look too far. I did go through a lot of congregations, but I actually came back to this one that I've known my whole life. It's kind of like you've been best friends with someone and then you didn't realize it, but you started dating and that's your future spouse, like you married them, you know, like yeah, they've always been there. So yeah, it's beautiful now.
And how old were you when you entered religious life?
I was 20 years old. I was a sophomore at St. Louis University, and I was like, it's time. The Lord's calling.
Wow. Wow, that seems so young to know, but I guess when you know, you know.
Right. It's between you and God. I knew that I was in a process of discernment. I knew it was possible that I could be asked to leave or I might discern out, but I was always open, and deep down, I desired it. I was just like, whatever you want, Lord, but I know that at this time you're calling me. So it's yeah, really made clear through prayer.
And tell us about your religious order.
Yes, so I'm with the Leaven of the Immaculate Heart of Mary's Sisters. Our mother house is in the Philippines, and our charism is victimhood. So we offer our lives at the foot of the cross with our Blessed Mother. I'm actually wearing what we call our Sorrowful Mother cross, the Stabat cross, and you can see she's one with Jesus holding a chalice and she's catching the drops of blood. So that really reflects our daily life of prayer and penance. And also our apostolic life, which is education and formation of children, youth, and their families. So we have a daycare. We are spiritual mothers. We teach, we do retreats, we do missions, and thrown homes with the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Immaculate Heart of Mary. And just this year, I started writing books. That was something they gave me permission to do to continue our apostolic work. So it's very exciting. Yeah.
It is. And your book has just zoomed up to the top of the charts on Amazon. Were you expecting that to happen?
No, I wasn't. I was so excited to see the numbers go up. And when Dr. Sebastian, our editor, I told him he was so excited. He said it's a New Year's miracle. But I wasn't. I was hoping, but I didn't think it would, kind of like zoom so fast. I did tell lots of people about it, but for them to respond and just to share, and people like you who've just written so many beautiful things about it, that just really helped. And I think the Holy Spirit was really working through everyone. So, yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. So, do you have plans to write additional children's books?
Yes. So, the next one coming out very soon is I Talk to God About You and the Miracle of the Golden Chocolate. And then Puffle will also have a sequel. It's Puffle and the Narwhal. That will be next year because of the other children's books. So, yes, I do have plans and I've written and it's coming.
That's tremendous. And I don't think we said what's the age range for this book? Is there a specific age range that you wrote to?
Yes, there is. So this is the best. This is probably the best for audiences that are ages 3 to 8 years old. Kindergarten through third grade, it's suitable for them, most suitable, but of course, all ages. And then the hope is that parents are reading it to their child, and that could bring about a beautiful moment.
Oh, definitely. And you have such talent. And I'm wondering, are people surprised by the success of your book? The people that you grew up with, your friends, do they know about it?
Yes, I think, well, yes, you're so right. People are really surprised. And I think like, and I do believe that a lot of people do have ambition to write a book or a children's book, but to sit down and work through it for months and get it produced is a gift in itself that was given to me freely and totally and fully. So I'm really thankful. But yeah, people are real, I think people were surprised because this is something new. I'm not usually like the sister that ever since I think 2020, 2021, I've been teaching older children, so maybe seventh grade to high school. So I moved up a lot, but my heart is with the little ones too, and I wanted to do something for them too. So
And where can people find the book?
yes, so they can find it on the publishing page of On Road Books and Media. They can also find it online on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, and hopefully, prayerfully coming to a bookstore near them. And that takes work and it'll take some time, but online they can purchase the book.
That's wonderful to hear. And I'm wondering, do you have hope for the future? I mean, I think that your book is very hopeful.
Yeah.
So in terms of young people, they face this great challenge nowadays with regard to the identity and with regard to the culture of death. And I'm wondering, do you see hope still?
Yes, I see a lot of hope. I really do. And I know that young people All of us, no one wants to be confused by their identity. Everyone wants to know it. They want to know the truth. We're drawn naturally to the true, the good, and the beautiful. So I really have a lot of high hopes for this. The way I wrote it and the way it was designed was for an audience of people from all different backgrounds and all faiths, if that makes sense. So I mean, there was a particular audience I was writing to, but the way it's designed is to have everyone feel that sense of belonging and know that the no just have that sense of, yeah, like knowing that they're not excluded in any way because of creed, class, color, religion, or faith. It's really meant to be a universal truth presented to all. Yes.
Yeah, and I think you said it earlier very well, that it all boils down to love. I think we sometimes make things a little bit too complicated. And in fact, the culture of life is a culture of love. And the more that we strive to show love to other people, the more likely we're going to see that civilization of love that Pope John Paul II predicted.
Yes, absolutely. Oh my goodness, yes. Like you said, the culture of life is a culture of love. If you are pro-life, you are pro-love. And if you're pro-life, you're pro-eternal life. So it keeps moving. The Holy Spirit keeps inspiring new charisms, new ministries, new apostolates to bring about this generation of life and love.
You've been listening to Lifelines Radio. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Legislative Director of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. We've been speaking with Sister Gianna Cassino, author of the book Puffle. The Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation is the largest single-issue pro-life organization in the Keystone State, with nearly 40 local county-based chapters. We shine a spotlight on the most vulnerable individuals from the very dawn of life to the twilight of life. Thank you for joining us for the program today. It wouldn't be the same without you. We are grateful for your continuing support and encouragement. And always remember, there is always a reason to choose life. Until next time, we're signing off. Take care. Bye-bye.